Welcome back to the Roundtable and to today's Book Picks segment. This week on Tuesday, we check in with Jackie Callahan of the Golden Notebook in Woodstock, New York. She's been keeping track of what literary pursuits are worth our precious time and money and is here to give us an update. Jackie, good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
It is so good to see you today. So it is the summer. It officially started last week. Mm-hmm. And I would say this summer is no different from any other summer in that there are so many hot, amazing, incredible books to be read, and you just have to sort of pick the ones that you know you like the most, because you won't go wrong. There are so many amazing books. So,
awesome.
The books that I'm talking about today are so good. A couple of them are first novels, and they're so much fun to read. So the first one I want to talk about today is The Girls by Emma Klein, which actually has one of my favorite covers.
That's very cool.
Of the summer, yeah. And this is a first novel, and it's inspired by Charles Manson and the murders committed by his followers in 1969. But actually, that horror is all pushed into the background. And it focuses on the narrator, and her name is Evie Boyd, and it switches between sort of contemporary time and reminiscent. And she's an adult who is like a house sitter, sort of home health aide. And when she's house sitting, she meets a teenage girl and her obnoxious boyfriend in what she sees as being like a exploitive relationship, and this triggers her recollection of her time as a 14-year-old hanging out with her best friend, trying to look good for her friend's older brother, and you know, just doing the normal things that 14-year-olds will do.
Mm-hmm.
A really beautiful quote from the book that I'm going to read now: "So much of desire at that age, 14, was a willful act, trying hard to slur the rough, disappointing edges of boys into the shape of someone you could love." But more than adolescent anxiety, Evie's parents are newly divorced. Her mother is distracted by like every new fad in 1969. Her father's in a new relationship. One day after she has a big fight with her friend, Evie's hanging out at a local park and she sees these sort of otherworldly girls who are dumpster diving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She makes eye contact with one of the girls, Suzanne, and then she quickly tumbles into this whole world, a family of girls that are surrounding an aspiring musician and egomaniac named Russell. Okay. And he's kind of the Charles Manson like character. The thing that's amazing about this book is the language of adolescence that's used, and it's poetic, but it's also really genuine and authentic. And it's so restrained. So while she's alluding to the Manson murders, it's really more focused on the cult and the climate of the girls around the cult leader, and also girls in general. You know, talking about girls trading access to their bodies in exchange for emotional support and empowerment. And in many ways, that what happened in 69 in this fictional account, in some ways, is the same trap that many girls are still in today. And I think that that is a very deft thing about this book. It's a complex story about girlhood, violence, the psychology of cults. It is hard to put it down.
That is The Girls, a novel by Emma Klein. That sounds fascinating.
It's really good.
Yeah.
The next book, I don't know, it's even better. I love this book.
Okay.
It's called Sweet Bitter, and it's by Stephanie Danler. Also another first novel.
Wow.
And this is a New York City coming-of-age story. And Tess has moved to Williamsburg, Brooklyn from the Midwest. And she got a new job, maybe not a little bit, because she's good-looking. And she gets a job at a famous unnamed restaurant that you immediately recognize as being Union Square Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And she gets a job not as a waiter, but a back waiter. And she immediately becomes part of this sort of intense hierarchical kind of court, you know, almost like Louis the 16th type of court of tattooed wait staff, chefs, and bartenders. And the nights in the restaurant are marked by all kinds of injuries, physical injuries, there's burning, you know, people get burnt, there's dropped glass. It's very intense physical labor. Insults are flying, you know, around the staff. After work is over, the crew drinks really hard.
Sure.
And snorts every single substance that you can imagine into the way early hours, only to begin the next day. The writing is amazing. The food descriptions, there's a deep knowledge of wine, a deep knowledge of the business. You get a real, like, visceral sort of contact high of, like, in New York City in your bones, and you kind of relive, one can relive sort of the time of your life, whether you're in New York City or another city, of kind of going through that process where you become an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And this book does that really well. There's a love triangle, of course, between Tess, the main character, and Simone, the mysterious, brilliant waitress who teaches her about wine, and Jake, the dissolute, magnetic bartender who teaches her about oysters. So, Sweet Bitter.
Sweet Bitter by Stephanie Danler.
Of course, you need a great thriller mystery for your summer.
Absolutely.
And my favorite one so far, and probably for the whole summer, is The Second Life of Nick Mason by Steve Hamilton. It is so good. Nick is a somewhat honorable, stoic bad boy who's just been released from maximum security prison in Terre Haute, Indiana. And unlike the other inmates, he isn't met by his wife or girlfriend or kids, but by a black Escalade driven by a near-silent driver named Marcus Quintero. And instead of being taken back to his sort of old South Side Chicago neighborhood where he grew up and had a life of a petty criminal, instead he's taken to this upscale lake suburban community and set up in a house with Armani suits and a vintage muscle car, and he's handed cash, a cell phone, and one command: keep your phone on. And so basically he's traded his early release from prison for 20 years of servitude to this criminal mastermind named Darius Cole. And so Nick is tangling with drug lords and dirty cops, and he's also trying to protect his ex-wife and also connect with his daughter. Mm-hmm. And it is a total thriller. It's page-turning. It's amazing. Loved it.
The Second Life of Nick Mason by Steve Hamilton.
One of my favorite nonfiction books, and also one of my favorite nonfiction writers, is Jill Lepore. And for those of you listeners who don't know about her, she is a professor of American history at Harvard, and she writes for The New Yorker, and she writes books, and like she has kids, and I'm like, how does she do all of this?
I don't know.
It blows
me away.
She's
a very, very intelligent person.
My
with
goodness.
Good time management skills, presumably.
Exactly. And so this book is so cool. Basically, she was teaching a course in Harvard called What is Biography, and she had her students read, as part of the curriculum, two essays, two very famous New Yorker essays by Joseph Mitchell. Okay, one was published in 1942, and it was called Professor Siegel, and the other was published in 1964, and it was Joe Gould's Secret. Okay, and Joe Gould was this mysterious village character who presumably was working on this 9 million word piece called The Oral History of Our Time. Okay, and that's what he writes about in 1942. In 1964, in a very dark kind of Poe-like essay, Mitchell says, well, maybe I got duped. Maybe the oral history of our time didn't exist. And what Lepore does is unpack all that.
Oh, wow.
And find the real story behind Mitchell, behind Gould, behind all of it. It's really, really interesting. Almost every word is footnoted. And in the process of doing this, she reveals, I think, a character that probably Joe Gould would have written about in his oral history, had there been one. And she talks about an amazing African-American artist named Augusta Savage, who was part of the Harlem Renaissance as a sculptor, and actually she ended her life up in Saugerties, New York. Unknown. And so I'm just going to leave you with this quote from the book, which I think sums up a lot of it, but everyone should really get this book. So here's the quote. Two writers guard an archive. One writes fiction, the other writes fact. To get past them, you have to figure out which is which. Joseph Mitchell said that Gould made things up, but Gould said that Mitchell did. So reading this book kind of helps you decide.
Yeah, it's like that old riddle where one person lies, so which door do you choose? Mm-hmm. That's Joe Gould's Teeth by Jill Lepore.
Mm-hmm. It's so good. Okay, the next book is actually, it's so interesting how we find out about books, right? As a bookseller, you know, I feel, and James, who's the other owner of the Golden Notebook, we like to be on top of it. And we see front lists, and we, you know, I love sort of scouring the internet for other books. But sometimes things just fall into your lap. And this, several weeks ago in the Woodstock Times, there was a wonderful article about an artist that I had never heard of, and a book that I'd never heard of. And it was about, the book is called Robert Winthrop Chandler, Discovering the Fantastic. And it's published by a publisher called the Monticelli Press, and also by the Vizcaya Museum, which is in Miami.
Okay.
Okay. Robert Winthrop Chandler was born in 1872. He's one of the 8 Astor orphans raised at Rokeby, which is just across the river north of Rhinebeck, okay, and educated in Paris and Italy, and what he was a painter. And he ultimately settled near Red Hook, New York, had a townhouse in New York City, had a boat going up and down, married three times, two mistresses. And what he excelled at was decorative work in private homes. Okay. One of the things that he's most well known for, and I'm going to show you a picture, is one of his patrons and lovers was Gertrude Vanderbilt Whitney. Okay. And he did this work. And so I'm showing a really amazing picture of this fireplace that that is in Gertrude Vanderbilt Whitney's studio.
That's gorgeous.
And it's incredible. And it's flames. And it goes, it's a fireplace with decorative work of flames reaching up to the ceiling and actually on the ceiling.
But all in white.
All in white.
Yeah,
it's so
beautiful.
Cool. So anyway, he had the most colorful, licentious life, you know, living his work. And in addition to holding a position in the New York State Assembly, being the sheriff of Dutchess County, he also hung out with a lot of artists in Woodstock, New York, and may or may not have had something to do with the Maverick Festival, which were these great celebrations of music, art, and drama that actually inspired the Woodstock Festival in 69. So this is a really cool book. And it's by the way, it's an art coffee table book.
Right.
So Robert Winthrop Chandler, Discovering the Fantastic.
That's amazing. We have a couple more minutes and you have a few events to mention.
Yeah, we have a few events. Tomorrow, Joe is actually going to be coming to Woodstock.
That's right,
and
Joe Donahue, host of this show.
Is going to be doing an event with the Woodstock Library, with local author Marshall Karp, and with my co-owner, James Conrad. And this is going to be a whole event talking about the role of the library in a small town. And it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be at the Mescal Hornbeck Community Center. It's at 7 p.m.,
okay.
I believe.
That's right.
And it's just going to be a great conversation. Our library in Woodstock is an amazing place. It has the most amazing library fair. It's such an incredible community center, and I'm so looking forward to the event.
That's tomorrow night, and of course, more information at goldennotebook.com.
Correct.
The other two events coming up here?
The other two events, we have an event on Saturday with Elizabeth Isadora Gold and a book that she has written called The Mommy Group, Freaking Out, Finding Friends, and Surviving the Happiest Times of Our Lives. And this is actually hosted by another amazing local author named Nellie Riefler. And this is a series that Nellie has been producing at the Golden Notebook. But anyway, a lot of talk about mothers and support groups and how you make your way with children.
The Mommy Group event is the 2nd at 4 p.m. this Saturday.
Correct. And then our other event is on Sunday, and it is called Sex Object, and it is a memoir by Jessica Valenti. And that is going to be an amazing event. 3 o'clock on Sunday, July 3rd.
That's right. That's this weekend. Busy week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really busy.
For more information on the Golden Notebook in Woodstock and the great work they do, you can visit their website. That's goldennotebook.com. They are right on Tinker Street in Woodstock. We also post each week's book picks and links to their website on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. Jackie, it's always great to see you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.